Join me in a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for your presence and your spirit. Would we pray that you wash over us now with your love so that we may hear your word and be continually transformed in your name. Amen. So I need you to imagine the story that we heard from Luke today. A widow walking down a dusty road. She's from a town called Nain. It's not a large town, but it sits on the edge of a wide, beautiful valley. And so they had to walk out of town a little bit on the dusty road to get towards the cemetery where they were headed. But I'm assuming on this day, she probably didn't notice her surroundings. She didn't notice the beautiful valley and the trees and those things that were around her, because this day was the day her life had ended. True, she was still walking on the road, but really everything she knew was just about to be over. She has lost her connection to society. She is about to become a non-person. She's a part of a funeral procession. You probably caught that from the story. She's walking behind her dead son. He's being carried, and he's wrapped up in cloth bands, and they're walking on their way to his burial. It's not a fancy procession. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic and normal. Her son died that very day and had to be buried before sundown. And I'm assuming the shock was probably too much to bear. For she probably remembers walking this path before, following her husband, who was also wrapped in cloth bands, being carried to his own grave. The pain was great then, I'm sure, but then at least she could rely on her son. Then she only grieved for her husband, but now she grieves for both of them. But she's probably also grieving for herself and her own loss of life. I would imagine that the crowds who followed her, those who were carrying the body, but also those who gathered around her, knew her well, for the town was pretty small. No doubt they were compassionate for her. No doubt they were sad. Perhaps some of them were friends of her son, but others perhaps were widows themselves or friends of their family. They may possibly, very likely, be very concerned about her, largely in part for the concern of her loss of her social identity, her loss of connection and power in her small part of the world. For to be a widow in the time of Christ means to have no power and no social standing. It was a world of and for and run by men. A woman could only be represented legally by a man. A woman could only be defended socially by a man. The religious law, it did, though, give some protection to widows. The scriptures that they read over and over and followed were clear that widows were to receive special care and treatment and attention and were not to be exploited. But religious laws were no guarantee of a woman's safety in this man's world. So this widow from Nain is in social danger. She no longer has a husband. She no longer has a son. She is on her own. No men, no protection. I assume as she's walking down the road to bury her son that each step gets heavier and heavier with grief, heavier and heavier with fear of what is to come, each step into an unknown future. Then walks in Jesus. To me, if you will, this is one of the most sort of inappropriate things that Jesus has ever done. He walks into this funeral procession, this mourning, grieving, scared woman and community. And it's almost like his pastoral radar is off that day. And he walks in, interrupts them, and says, "Do not cry." It says in the gospel that he offered compassion. But, I mean, if you walk in and say, "Do not weep," in the middle of this difficult time, I sort of wonder, really? Like, could you start off with something a little bit softer? "Do not cry." This really tragic death. But it seems that everything is going to change in the midst of Jesus' presence. I guess if someone is going to be bold and speak something that seems sort of inappropriate, the one who's going to be able to do it is the one who's going to offer hope and life and to change the scene. There's a lot of drama here, but Jesus comes in and he sort of turns everything on its head. Think about the very few words that Jesus said in the story. He said very few things. The first thing he says is, "Do not weep." Yes, a word of comfort, perhaps, but also a strange word in the midst of a difficult time. Then, the next word all he says is, "Rise." Rise to the sun. A word of resurrection. That's it. Two small, short, little phrases. Do not weep and rise. Jesus could say, I think, the absolute wrong thing here of do not cry, do not weep, to a scared and mourning widow only because he knew the right next word. And he was the only one able to proclaim that next word into the fullness of its truth. And that word is rise. Have life. The response from these two words is, I think, a sense of awe and glory. It says here they were filled with fear, but it's also a sense of awe and wonder and amazement at what just happened. This awareness that God is here. In this place that we were shrouded with death, God is here. And God has been here all along. This little story, this little snippet of what we get from this funeral procession is really this wonderful microcosm of the whole story of Jesus. The story is a short example of why Jesus has visited God's people. Do not weep, rise. As hard as it might seem to imagine, the glory of God that was revealed that day in Nain was more than just bringing a dead man back to life. The widow is also brought back to life. Her death was made alive again. After the widow's son comes back to life, Jesus gives him back to his mom. And in doing so, Jesus gives the widow life again. Jesus heals more than a dead man. He heals a woman broken by societal rules that could not see her as fully human without a man. I think the crowd, they may have been more afraid of this than anything else. For the societal order, their cultural norms, they had been altered. They had been turned on their heads. A woman who hadn't counted for anything suddenly counted again. This may have been as awesome and as fearsome as the resurrection itself. I think that the crowd would immediately have known what happened. They would have immediately known what Jesus did. They knew that they were in the presence of something great because they had read their scripture. They knew the stories and the promises. They knew that God cared for widows. God insisted on the care for widows. They knew that God sent prophets like Elijah to heal widows and to remember the widow at Zarephath, who was near death and who was being brought back to life by this beautiful gift of a jar of meal and a jug of oil. And they will never run out. You will always have life in them. Caring for those in society that society wants to leave behind, that's what God does. Having no edges, no boundaries, no limits to the scope of care, justice, and mercy, that is God. God's being has no limits to love and justice. And yet we live in this world, right, where we have social divisions all the time. We have boundaries. Even in our now global society where we think the world is so small and we all are one, we are still full of divisions. To me, it often feels like we have found many more ways to divide ourselves than to join ourselves together. We can be divided by religion. That's an easy one to see. We can be divided by ethnicity, by nation, age, gender, by the kind of music we like, even by wealth and poverty and whatever else you can think of. So many divisions. But amid all of this division, God offers unity in love. God offers the gift of life. God is the source of all being, of all wholeness, of all love. And God doesn't just give us this biological thing of life. God gives us full life. Wherever divisions are, they are healed. A life where no boundaries are anymore. We're free from our divisions. I think this is what Jesus is showing to the people of Nain, that life means simply more than just existing. It means living fully within the web of creation. It means being loved by all and loving all in return. God continues to restore life to our communities, and God does this through the work of each one of us and the work of the Spirit. Our ELCA motto, God's work, our hands, is really a powerful one. It's through the commitment and hard work of the Spirit in all of us that God continues to heal and create. We participate in this creating. God didn't just create once and it's all over. God continues to create new life over and over again. And we do this by refusing to draw boundaries, by refusing to exclude people from the fullness of life that God promises. After Jesus left Nain, the people went back to their homes and their chores, but I like to think that things did not go back to normal. And thanks to be God for that. Like, things weren't to go back to normal. They didn't want the normal where the widow would be alone and a non-human. No more normal. Just because things are normal doesn't mean they're right. Normal can be unjust, ungodly. The people of Nain weren't normal anymore. The people were transformed. They were changed forever. They had been moved beyond what they thought they had as limitations. They had seen a new world. They had seen the possibility of God. And a new world means new life and limitless love. And that love continues to be revealed day after day and given to us every moment of each hour. In Jesus' name, amen.